This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
I don't know that he'd accept it. Those are tough circumstances. He was a part of G8, and all of a sudden, he's not out or he's not in. So I think, John, actually, that's a pretty tough thing for him. You know, he's a proud person. Would I invite him? I would certainly invite him. Whether or not he could come psychologically, I think that's a tough thing for him to do.
G7, that's what everybody's talking about, the summit. Did the president do well? Well, there's some interesting stories coming out of it. Kate Delaney, we are broadcasting from Des Moines, Iowa, where farmers have plenty of thoughts about what's happening with China, with trade, and how it's affecting their business. There was a big joint news conference following the wrap-up of the G7 summit. French President Emmanuel Macron and our President Donald Trump discussing the U.S. trade negotiations with China, really saying that it's looking pretty good at this conference. Trump said he was open to meeting with the Iranian president as well, Rouhani. The remarks hours after the Iranian leader signaled that he was also open to talks, and Macron said he hoped the two leaders would speak in the coming weeks. He apparently is trying to broker this. And speaking of brokering deals, China, he's saying now, the president, I think they may want to make a deal. You just heard that at the top. The conclusion of, or you heard Russia and Russia being invited to the next summit, but also part of that was China, China, China. He's saying they might want to make a deal. If it's possible, anything's possible to try to make the deal. The rhetoric was certainly much softer on China. Investors were calmer. So on the street, there weren't the explosive numbers that we've seen, but the summit really began with Macron cornering our president to talk about Iran and China without White House aides and talking about tariffs as well. So the chords were very conciliatory and looked pretty good, but is this brinkmanship or not? Last Friday, Beijing imposed new tariffs on U.S. goods, and the president responded by increasing tariffs on Chinese goods. But the president also directed U.S. companies doing business with China to explore relocating, an order that he, of course, can't give, but he was pushing that. And now it seems as though, coming from the G7, France and Macron are trying to really play peacemaker. And why? Because in the global economy, it's incredibly important to see what happens with that monetary situation. The economic cooperation development is so, so important. I mean, look, the G7 leaders even agreed to kick in a $20 million package to help Amazon countries fight the fires there and to try to restore rainforests. And, I mean, the $20 million is nothing compared to the destruction, but it's something anyway. And whether this is, you know, is a successful G7 or not, time will tell as far as does something with teeth in it come out of it. And why do you care? You care about China. I'm here in the belly of the beast. Farmers making their living off of crops that are getting tariffed to death, and it's strangling, depending on the farm, it's strangling their livelihood, and they do not like it. And who can blame them? You think you're in the soybean business, and suddenly you realize, oh man, we're really stuck because soybeans are getting clobbered. We can't even make a living off soybeans, so what do? When we have fields and fields of the stuff, and there was so many foods that use soybeans, but predominantly it was shipped overseas. And that's the problem. And I talk about this show as being the voice of reason. And why do you care? You care because you care what's in your wallet. You care what's affecting your livelihood, what affects you in terms of feeding the beast. And that means your family and what's happening in your neighborhood. And all of this trickles down in a certain way. And in fact, in a very, very different way. Because you don't realize where the tariffs are going and where ultimately it's going to hit you. Even in the real estate business, because especially in the West Coast, people listening to us in California, there were lots of Chinese buyers, but they've pulled back from the U.S. housing market, and that has hurt home sales compared to 2018. So some analysts will blame high prices, worries about a possible recession, but another prominent role is foreign buyers, particularly the Chinese, pulling back from the U.S. real estate market. It affects us. China topped all other countries for seventh consecutive year with $13.4 billion in home purchases. But it was down this time around 56% from the prior year. That's a number to pay attention to. That's a number to look at because Chinese investors who had the money are retreating from the American housing market. Beijing is placing limits on how much capital can leave the country in the wake of what they're going through, the devaluation in the yuan a few years ago. This is why you care. And the restrictions, my friends, are tight. In China, each family member has been restricted to 50,000 or less. So how are you investing? Americans will easily elbow you out in any kind of a cash offer. And it was quite the opposite before. So that's the impact. That's the impact that we are seeing. Speaking of impacts, something else is going on that's pretty interesting. We've been talking about the opioid crisis and who do you pin this on, and some areas are worse than others. The Wall Street Journal did a fabulous article a couple of weeks ago where I'm sure you could go to it and you plug in where you live and your zip code and they tell you how bad the opioid crisis is in your neighborhood. And what kind of pills are we talking about? Well, now you have this judge that ordered Johnson & Johnson to pay $572 million for the opioid crisis. And this was a judge in Oklahoma where it's particularly heinous. And they have struggled mightily with this. So the subsidiaries, the just the landmark decision that was leveled down was huge. The Oklahoma ruling came in the first state opioid case to reach trial. The state had settled before with Oxycodone maker Purdue Pharma and Israel's Teva, I think it is, pharmaceutical, for more than $350 million. So this is different. And what the Cleveland County judge said is the opioid crisis is an imminent danger and menace to us all. The defendant's misleading marketing and promotion of opioids compromise the health and safety of thousands of Oklahomans. Wow. The lead lawyers for the federal litigation issued a statement calling the Oklahoma ruling a critical step to their consolidated cases ahead of the trial, which is going to begin October 21st. Like I said, this is one for the ages, and this is one to absolutely watch. All right, hang with us. Odds and Ends coming up on the flip side.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-301-5435. That's 800-301-5435. 800-301-5435.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for Life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for Life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422. Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for Life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for Life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Paudiarco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, the Hebo Tea Club's original pure Paudiarco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Paudiarco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's DrinkSuperTea.com, 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Once again, broadcasting from beautiful Des Moines, Iowa. I do have to tell you this. It's interesting when you fly from one place that's 100 degrees into another that's 67. And I've asked the people that I've spoken to in Des Moines, is this normal? And they said, not this in between. Usually we don't have a dramatic fallout. So if it's 90 degrees, the next week it's not 67. But they're not complaining. The weather is fantastic. As far as I'm concerned, I love it. Right? Because I'm not melting. All right, speaking of not melting, odds and ends includes the possibility of a hurricane. And of course, when it comes to traveling and weather, you have to pay attention, as many of the Carnival cruise ships have been rerouted because of Dorian, not knowing for sure if it's going to explode into a full-fledged hurricane or just be a tropical storm, which still can be pretty deadly. And right now in Barbados, the schools are closed. They're telling people to stay indoors for fear that the hurricane conditions are possible. And will it slam into the mainland of the United States, which we would, of course, care about? The answer is it doesn't look that way right now, but it could become a Cat 1 hurricane, and that means you have to pay attention. I mean, tropical storm warnings are in place for St. Lucia, Martinique, Barbados, St. Vincent, a couple of other islands as well. The Bahamas is kind of in the middle. It's the fourth, if you're keeping score, because I think this is interesting, it's the fourth named storm of the Atlantic hurricane season. And it's centered, give or take, about 95 miles east, southeast of St. Lucia. It's moving pretty quickly. It could bring, for sure, strong winds and maybe 3 to 8 inches of rain. So all of that is possible. And that's why they're battening the hatches, which is smart. Close the schools, tell people to evacuate and go where they need to go. And that's why the cruise lines are not going to mess with this. They sail out of Port Canaveral, Florida. They reroute the ships from the east to the west Caribbean, because they're not going to put themselves, already with things that happen on cruise ships, they're not going to put themselves in a position where they would put their passengers knowingly that there might be a tropical storm that explodes a little bit more. Yeah, they're not going to, that's not going to happen. They're not going to go there. All right, are you a fan of the VMAs? Do you even know what the VMAs are? Of course, it depends on how old you are listening to this show, or maybe it doesn't. You might be just a music lover. But, it's music. I mean, we're talking about music, and so you get every celebrity imaginable. And Taylor Swift, who is incredibly popular with young girls, opened the VMA, this is an award show, with a performance of one of her hit songs, and she won video, because that's what it is, video. She won video of the year, and it had been like 10 years since the moment that Kanye West jumped on stage and kind of crashed her party when she won a VMA. But this time around, that did not happen. She just was a winner. So that's the big deal. She was on the red carpet, and she still has music that sounds kind of poppy. And she talks about she grew up in Plainview, Texas, and she tries to relate to some of her upbringing in her music. But anyway, VMA is a video. While the video awards are going on, Harvey Weinstein's future hangs in the balance. His trial has been delayed till January. He pled not guilty at a new arraignment. Oh, how the mighty have fallen. And to me, he was the one who kicked open Pandora's box to the Me Too movement. And his trial was scheduled to start in 2 weeks, but now it's going to be delayed because of pushing back the criminal case. And it's the fourth in a row for him. So weeks before it was supposed to start, he and his lawyers appeared in court for the new indictment. See, that's what keeps happening to him. He just keeps getting slammed with new charges. He looks like a shadow of his former self. You have attorney Gloria Allred, who represents a lot of these accusers, and she told reporters that she wondered why the defense is so afraid of having additional witnesses testify. And I would say, I can't see him getting out of anything. I mean, I can't see that Harvey Weinstein, like I said, who is in the middle of the firestorm, and especially with Gloria Allred pushing it, and these new indictments, there are no new accusers or charges against him, but he's still accused of the 5 sex crimes, including rape involving 2 women and dating back to 2013 and 2006. But now they have put the label predatory, which allows for a longer prison sentence if convicted. Did you know that? So he's been free on $1 million bail at this point, but it's not looking good for him. Let's put it, maybe putting it mildly, but it certainly is not. Meanwhile, looking good on the market, it's just the first day in, watching what happened at the G7 summit, looking at what's happening globally with the global economy, and Chinese investors, I mentioned that they were buying less homes. We look at oil prices and how low can they go. If you've been buying gasoline, which I'm sure if you have a car, you're buying gasoline, and you're probably noticing how especially regular is really, really dropping fast like a rock. Well, the good news is the Dow plunged over 620 points. The trade war between Washington and Beijing escalated last week. That was the bad news. And then the conversation once again becomes, okay, now it looks like we can have a deal with China. We can start to have that conversation with China. And you even have the China State Council announcing it would impose tariffs ranging from 5 to 10% on another $75 billion of U.S. goods. And I think somehow this is going to shore itself up because the president, love him or hate him, he does not want to be tagged with a recession. He does not want to see the economy tank. He wants to get elected for another term, and to see the economy tank would not be good. It never is, no matter who the president is and no matter what the feelings are for that president. It's never, excuse me, never good. And this is what happens when you go to a different climate, where it goes from you're in almost 100 degree weather to 60 some degree weather. It's never good when that happens, because people are watching what's in their wallet. I say it all the time. If there's anything you take away from this show, we all know that, and we all agree to that, that when you are hit in the wallet and you're lighter in the wallet, it petrifies people. And I completely understand it because I've been a victim of that. And many of you have too, whether it was the 2008 crash or something else. Good luck trying to make up that money in any fast way, especially if you have a normal 9-to-5, job. All right, part of odds and ends, it means that we bring up things that sometimes we talk about, sometimes we don't. You know, we do our cheap movie review here on this show, and we're looking at Hollywood in the summer, and even though there have been sequels, remakes, revenue is running 2% behind last year. 6% downturn at the domestic box office so far in 2019, taking the summer into account, etc. It's been slow. A record number of movies crossed the 1 billion mark at the global box office, global, mostly Disney. And then you've got Labor Day. Is it going to finish strong? Is it going to finish, you know, weaker or not? They say the gap between the haves and the have-nots at the box office has never been greater. And the domination of one Hollywood studio, I just mentioned it, Disney, Disney, Disney. Only one original summer event was featured, Quentin Tarantino's Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Sony also had a hand in this. It crossed the $100 million line at the domestic box office. That compares with only one last year, The Meg, which hit 145. So again, we're saying domestic. The summer of 2019 has been challenging other than Disney. We're seeing different things. Like I said, with Disney, Disney is raking in the money. Their domestic market share is 40% or more when you count Fox films. The Lion King, Toy Story 4, Aladdin. So globally, earning all three of those pictures more than $1 billion, but domestically certainly earning their share. So Disney is the winner in all of this, and other pictures a little bit tough. What's it going to look like come?
If you feel you've been lied to, pressured, or misled into buying your timeshare, you have the right to cancel completely. This is Steve Sanchez, and I'd like to introduce you to Wesley Financial Group, the leading top-rated timeshare cancellation company in the country. That's right, no more excessive fees or lifetime commitments that make you feel like you're serving a prison sentence. Founded by CEO Chuck McDowell, a pioneer in the industry, who went into federal court and won against the largest timeshare resort company in the world just to help you get out of your timeshare. Too good to be true? No. Countless testimonials and the highest ratings from the Better Business Bureau make Wesley Financial Group the real deal, and their money-back guarantee they put in writing makes them the Steve Sanchez choice for successfully canceling your timeshare guaranteed. To get their free information kit, call 1-800-475-1919. That's 1-800-475-1919, or visit them at timesharecancellations.com. That's 1-800-475-1919.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You USA Radio News with Robin Walensky.
President Trump says China has no choice but to make a trade deal with the United States, and he thinks one is coming. The president wrapping up a long weekend at the G7 summit in France, saying he believes China is sincere and has no choice because its economy is in trouble.
So when you say, do you think they want to? Maybe they want to and maybe they don't, but I think they want to make a deal. I'm not sure they have a choice, and I don't say that as a threat. They can't do what they were saying they're going to do, because if they do that, they're going to be met with really very violent force.
Also making headlines, President Trump says some have suggested holding next year's 2020 G7 at his private golf resort, Doral, in Florida. The president says he's open to it, but says there's no financial gain.
My people wanted it. From my standpoint, I'm not going to make any money. In my opinion, I'm not going to make any money. I don't want to make money. I don't care about making money.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hey, travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
800-871-3291. 800-871-3291. Again, that's 800-871-3291.
Hey, Bugsy, you hear the news about Vinny?
Yeah, it's a real shame. He owed money to the IRS and they finally caught up with him.
Just like Al Capone.
If the IRS can get the Capone, imagine what they can do to little old Vinny, huh?
Poor cat, he was on top of the world, then bada boom, bada bing.
What Vinny needs now is an offer he can't refuse.
Hey, you got a tax problem? Does the IRS claim you owe them a bunch of dough? They can get you, too. So call the Tax Relief Line now and learn if you qualify to negotiate your $10,000 plus IRS tax debt for up to a 75% savings. Don't be like Al or Vinny and get busted. Make this free call now. Learn how you may be able to pay the IRS less.
Call now. 800-590-4930. 800-590-4930, 800-590-4930, that's 800-590-4930.
Just like they took away the Polaroid picture on a giveaway. Everything that means something.
So our virtual green room right now is Fred Beck. He's written a book called When God Works Incognito, Thoughts and Memories of My Life and Lifetime. And he has really lived a very, very interesting life. Fred, thanks so much for joining us on the show. And tell us about the title, When God Works Incognito. What do you mean by that?
Well, my personal experience, I think I see it in others too, sometimes things happen and people will say, oh, that's just a coincidence. However, sometimes that's true, but however, many times I find that actually it's God working, and so I called it God working incognito.
And for you, you obviously have had experiences like that, like you said. So what is it that inspired your book, all of those experiences?
Well, that was a major part of it. Actually, I didn't intend to write a book. It's just a project for a family, and it just grew and grew. But, yes, and I got caught up in it. It was a very enjoyable journey.
Tell us about your journeys. Tell us about, give us one of your journeys and something that happened.
Well, we were in Indonesia for 20 wonderful years, actually about a little longer than that. And toward the end of those years, the government there did not renew my visa. That's my work permit. permit, and without that I could neither stay nor work. And so where I was in Ambon, Indonesia, I was friendly with the police, and they said, don't worry, it's 6 months overdue. We know you're not worried about you, but we won't be able to let you leave the island. So I was unofficially under island arrest, but I was free to do things there. And it was a hard time. There are many that I won't explain. There are many things that pressed upon us, that stressed us, including the possibility of leaving Indonesia. And after Easter, that it was in 1990, I went to the post office and I got this letter, and I didn't know the name on it, but it was a lady by the name of Vicky. She had contacted me to be a pen pal my first year in Indonesia in 1970, and we corresponded a couple of years, and then we lost contact. And so now, nearly 20 years later, I get a letter, and it's from Vicky. And she tells me she's still got all my letters, all this stuff. And actually, I had one of her letters that I made a scrapbook with several things. And so she told me all that she was doing and how my letters had inspired her. She was a pastor's wife then, had her own children. So she was 10 when she first wrote me, and now she was around 30. And as I read the letter, I began to cry. I enjoyed the letter, and it was moving. But I began to realize, she explained that all these years she didn't know how to contact me. Of course, I didn't know how to contact her, but someone had told her how she could get my address, and so she did, and she wrote. And this letter came when I needed it. And what I heard through her letter was God speaking to me. It says, Fred, I know you're concerned. I know you don't want to leave Indonesia, and things are up in turmoil. He says, I've got your back. Don't worry about it. Just trust me and continue to walk in faith. And about 3 or 4 weeks later, we were on our way out of Indonesia. Not by choice, but we just gave it all up and left. When I went to the office, I got permission to fly to Jakarta to the office for a last-ditch effort to get the visa, but failed. And my friend in the office, he says, Fred, you know, we like to hold on. We don't want to turn loose. But sometimes holding on to what we know is not faith. It's the lack of faith. Charles doesn't remember saying that to me, but when he said that, it was like the voice of God saying, Fred, it's okay to leave. I've got something else for you. So again, incognito. And in the book, I use that over and over again. But so a month later, we were on our way to India. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to go to India. In fact, I told you the other day that India was the last place on earth I wanted to go. I was open to most anything, but not India. And, you know, we get these preconceived ideas. But I got past my hang-up, and I went. And it was the best part of my life overseas. We spent 13 years in India and around India. And I tell people today I shudder at thinking that I almost missed out on that because I thought I knew better than God. But when I surrendered to Him, the best was yet to be.
Wow, that is so powerful, that story, because you take us through the disappointment, the excitement of Indonesia, how much you loved it, then that having to leave and really not having your head in that space where you wanted to do it, then you go to India, and I mean, wow, what an amazing, amazing experience. So, Fred, that's what you think, right? You realize that it was God.
Yes. Of course, a lot of people don't believe God, and even believers often use this coincidence, and sometimes it is coincidence, but there's too many occasions where I see God speaking or working, and the book is about how He works in people's lives, including my own. I went to Indonesia thinking, you know, He to Indonesia to do his work. But God's work is God-sized, and I'm not God-sized. And he showed me that he wanted to work in me in Indonesia before he wanted to work through me in Indonesia. And there were some hard times. I remember one time several years after I'd been there, my friend said, when I left, said, oh, we'll write you and all that. Well, the letters from my parents kept coming every week and so forth. But the letters from friends, they kind of dropped off, and I felt cut off from all those old friends. And one day I was sitting in my home office, and I just said out loud, God, I could die here, nobody know it. There were no voices, no flashes, but in my innermost being, I heard God say, I would.
Wow. Wow. And I can see how you could feel that loneliness and that longing for the connection, and then to have that moment. So what would you say to people? I love that you said, you know, that there are people that aren't believers, and yes, sometimes it could be coincidence, but you know that you've seen the proof of this, and you certainly saw that in Indonesia and in India. How connected did you feel to the people? And I think you felt connected in both cases, but you did in Indonesia because you even speak the language, right?
Yeah, my whole family learned Indonesian. I went to a language school in my home. Teachers came for a year, and then I was sent out to my first assignment where we stayed 9 years in that first place. And, you have to learn the language. I wouldn't say that I spoke like a native, far from it, although some of my kids do. And but yes, I communicated strictly in Indonesian, except in my home. And people is what I went for, and so I made most of my time out meeting new people and being with people that I'd met. And they're great people. Sometimes we look at foreigners and say, oh, you know, who are they? Nothing for me with them. And we lose treasures by not reaching out here in America to people from all over the world. We can learn so much from them, and of course they can learn from us.
Boy, so that is so true. And the opportunity you gave your children, do you see that in them, that they have a wide view, a kind of a global view, because of what you were able to do with them?
Yes. Especially my boys, they were a little younger, and in a Muslim country, my older is a daughter, and after she became about 10 or 11, she just couldn't go out by herself, and even with her brothers, and so she struggled on some of that. But yes, it made an impact on their life. My youngest son was born there, and on his Facebook page, where's his hometown, he says, I'm born in Indonesia.
Mm.
But one of my sons served as a missionary for about 17 or 18 years. He speaks four languages. He speaks English, Spanish, Arabic, and Indonesian.
Wow. How cool is that?
Yeah, so they realize the whole world, and they think that people here are very short-sighted because we stay to ourselves.
Right, exactly. So there's a big difference in the feel of that. What do you hope people take away from reading your book?
Well, I guess the main thing would be that I hope they would have an awareness of God's goodness and his unmerited grace to anyone who entrusts themselves to him. There's some other things, but I think that's the top one.
I like that. It's a perfect place to end this. Pick up the book, When God Works in Cognito, Thoughts and Memories of My Life and My Lifetime. Fred Beck, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Kate.
Shot at In Mexico, 100 drinks at a well-worn bar with some shady-looking characters in Vegas, riding a bike from Dallas to Seattle on a bet, scribbling the words dungeon on a napkin while two passengers next to you on a plane wonder, what the heck does that mean? I'm Kate Delaney, and what does this have to do with my success, and why do you care? It's part of my journey that I want to share with you in my new book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Luckily, now I can laugh at some of what seemed like utter disasters at the time. Can any of you relate? That's exactly what you'll discover by reading my book. I picture you on a boat, beach, or relaxing in the backyard, laughing out loud until you rupture your spleen. Well, hopefully not. While pulling out some seriously rare and secret stuff. Doesn't matter what you do or where you are right now, anyone in any walk of life can use what I learned in my years of crisscrossing around the United States pursuing my dreams. So what do you want to get out of life? Happiness? Contentment? Why are you here? Pick up my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, at Amazon.com.
Fellow patriots, my name is Todd Savage, founder of BlackRifleRealEstate.com. Like you, I was a prisoner of the alt-left sanctuary state until one day I chose to lead my family to freedom. Today we live on a sustainable 20-acre homestead where we shoot, hunt, garden, and homeschool our children without the tyranny of the nanny state looking over us. If you're ready to flee the city to the freedom of Idaho or Montana, our Black Rifle Real Estate team is here to help. Go to BlackRifleRealEstate.com. That's BlackRifleRealEstate.com.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now, there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women.
I've probably noticed in the past 5 years that my eyes have gained a lot of fine lines, wrinkles. My crow's feet have gotten deeper. Wow. I was hoping for 5 years, but that's like what my eyes looked like 10 years ago.
That is really cool. Wrinkle gone?
It's easy. Just put it on your finger and go.
Now I wish I had more down here because I can still see one wrinkle. It's bugging me.
I am a little bit emotional. I'm turning 40. I didn't think would be a big deal to me, but that looks like the me that I feel like inside instead of what I see when I look in the mirror.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Welcome to the Author Corner, Joe Brisbane, and he's written a book, he's written a bunch of books, but one of the ones we're going to talk about is What is Skip Day? It's a really intriguing novel. So, Joe, thanks so much for coming back on with us. I think you're just a prolific and gifted writer, I do have to say that, and tell us about Skip Day.
Okay, I describe Skip Day as kind of a cross between American Graffiti and Animal House, but what it's really about is this crazy guy named Joe Ralston who graduates from Enid High School in 1959. And in the waning days of high school, he keeps going past his funeral home and he notices this 1947 black Packard hearse that's for sale. And he thinks, how cool would that be to rent the hearse for the Skip Day parade and have his buddies paint graffiti all over it and drive it around town, and that way he might be able to make a lasting impact on his hometown.
Wow, and the reaction to that, I mean, what was the reaction to that?
Well, you mean the city
in the book? Yeah.
Oh, well, they're on this plaza in front of the municipal swimming pool, and the photographer for the local newspaper comes by. And in the late 50s, Kate, there were people that were trying to see how many college students could be stuffed into telephone booths. And so the photographer wants to find out how many high school students they could stuff inside this hearse, and they get up to 76. photograph in the paper, not only that afternoon in the Daily Eagle, but also the next morning in the Union Morning News. And as a result, Joe has rented the hearse over his father's dead body, and he's willing to pay the funeral home director $20 for it. But when he goes to find out, the funeral home director has been able to sell the hearse to a hunter out in western Oklahoma who wants to he wants to use it to dress deer in it, and so he refuses to pay Joe anything.
I love it. In a way, you know, it just kind of reminds me of it in a different way. It's that fascination we all have with the whole skip day thing of what would you do, what do you do, and you think of even Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Did it feel like that when you were writing it?
You know, I hadn't had that one in mind, but I do love that movie. And I do think of it once in a while. But in the meanwhile, Joe's got a, he's got a job at the News and Eagle, and he's being confronted by all kinds of, you know, people about how what a strange sense of humor he has and everything like that. And he also has an encounter with one of his fellow basketball players named Bobby Winslow. And Bobby has a confession that he needs to make, and Bobby gets drunk at this party that's being run by one of Joe's friends, and he has to make a confession, and Joe feels so sorry for him. And he's just feels kind of angry, and so at 2 o'clock in the morning, he's going up Broadway towards his home, and he wants to see how fast that his mother's sedan will go. And so he floors it, and he's up 80 miles an hour, and he gets arrested by a black police officer.
Wow!
In which case, we have quite the discussion about civil rights in Oklahoma.
I bet. So it's interesting. You know, you talk about ideas for books, and I said you were a prolific writer, and I meant that. So these ideas really flow for you, right? I mean, do you feel like that? Like, oh, I have something else I want to talk about. Is that what it feels like?
I am really blessed because I get these ideas, and they just start, you know, coming out of me. And then on a second or third draft, I'll add things. In fact, I have this experience of once a story's been developed to a certain extent, the story starts telling me what it needs in order to be better.
Did you think when you set out to write that you would be writing like this, that of these ideas would, like I said, just flow to you that easily?
No, I really didn't. And I had been wanting to be a writer ever since I was in the third grade. But I became a journalist, and then I had four children, and I had to put them through college, you know. And I've had a bunch of careers. I was a newspaper reporter. I got into college public relations, and then I was a financial advisor for quite a while. And then when I finally retired from that, then I had the time to do what I really wanted to do.
But what's so interesting, and we're speaking with Joe Brisbane, and the book that we're talking about specifically is What is Skip Day, and there's Sweet Lorraine, and there's others as well. Do you think because you had all these varied experiences that helps you with the writing?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I don't, in none of my books are buildings blown up. There's no car chase as well, I guess, you know, being pursued by a black police officer on Broadway at 2 o'clock in the morning might be considered a car chase. But I just want to defy stereotypical literature. Yeah.
I love it. So you write this book, and again, these are novels. And then I do want to mention Sweet Lorraine because it's different than Skip Day. Give us that sneak peek of Sweet Lorraine.
Well, Sweet Lorraine, this character, Joe Ross, comes back for a high school reunion, and he meets a lady. He actually re-meets a lady by the name of Lorraine, and he falls in love with her, and he was madly in love with her when he was in the third grade, and she was in the fourth grade, and they were in a split room in an elementary school in Enid, Oklahoma.
Wow.
And while their romance is developing, and it was a lot of fun because these two people, although spiritually I think they're kind of a decent match in the beginning, they're just so different, you know, that things that don't happen the way you'd like them to. But at the same time, it's also a biography of Joe's older brother, John, who has become a socialist and has led a very life. And there's a suicide on both Joe's side and Lorraine's side, and they all kind of come together. So anyway.
Wow. So that there's a deeper twist in that one. What do you hope people take away from your books when they read them, when they read your novels?
Well, I hope they're entertained, and I hope that you know, when another book comes out, that they'll want to read that. You know, I want to become the Brisbane Habit.
I like that, the Brisbane Habit. So, you know, that's what happens. It's like Nora Roberts and some of these other huge writers,
yeah.
Patterson, that you go to the beach or you're somewhere taking public transportation and people carry that book around. So the Brisbane Habit would be we look around and we see people with your book,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Did you know, what's the reaction to people around you with that, with all these books you're writing?
Well, I went to a high school reunion in June, and particularly Skip, they kind of intrigued people, and people would ask me, am I in this book? And I said, why don't you buy a copy and find out?
That's right, because, you know, it's called a teaser. Joe, you don't want to give too much away. Otherwise, you know, then you got to get people intrigued. So we want to tell people, of course, then go to Amazon and get your books and Skip
sure.
Day, what is Skip Day? And it's funny because you could do a whole thing on what people think. In fact, we will do that on the show. What do people think of Skip Day? And did you ever have a Skip Day? You had a Skip Day, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, we had a Skip Day. In fact, the annex that happened at our Skip Day caused the celebration to be, they tried to diminish it the next year. The assistant principal did, and he and I were pretty good friends, and he's in the book. And then the next year, they did away with it completely. I seem to be the guy who helped kill off Skip Day.
I love that. I can't wait to see what you do next. And like we say, you can pick up the books, Amazon.com, etc. And it has to be just such a great feeling. Is it just a great feeling when you finish another one? I mean, do you have a celebration, something that you do?
Yeah, emotionally, it's a real relief. But intellectually, it's real satisfaction, and I'm really happy. And I'm also lucky that I've got a graphic artist who's designed covers and some interior art for Skip Day and Sweet Lorraine, and he just did a great job. And that's Garrett Connolly, and he's from beautiful downtown West Branch, Iowa. So
I love that. So that makes it come to life even more. So we'll say this again, Joe Brisbane, it's always fun to have you on the show. Go to Amazon.com, make the Brisbane Habit, because you will. You'll get just pulled right into his novels. Joe, thanks so much, and good luck with the latest one. What a Skip Day.
Thank you, Kate. Appreciate it.
Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's DrinkSuperTea.com, 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.